With me in your Bibles, please, to the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so verses, really even on into talking about the second table of the law, the Apostle Paul is focusing on civil magistracy. I'm not saying by that the civil magistrate has no understanding or no purview or no enforcement with regard to the first table of the law. He ought to. However, his primary purview is not to enter into the church and to organize the worship service. His primary focus is to ensure that the second table of the law is upheld in society. And in so doing, then, he ought to be upholding the first table as well with regard to his purview over the making things difficult for heretics and other idolaters to operate. But notice in chapter 13 here that the first thing that we all have to remember when we talk about Romans 13 is that the Apostle Paul is not talking about a quote-unquote covenanted nation. He's not talking about a Christian magistrate. The magistrate that is over the Apostle Paul, of which he is a citizen in these days, is Caesar. Of course, Caesar is a title, it's not a name. The Caesars were those rulers of Rome, the Caesar being derived from the Latin to be, you know, king or prince. Czar, Caesar, you understand that. So the Apostle Paul here is not saying that we should submit to Christian magistrates, but no others. That's not what he's saying at all. As a matter of fact, we make that very plain in our confession of faith. Because in the 10th century, there were difficulties with the Roman pontiff, Antichrist, because what he would do is if he couldn't get a king to do what he wanted him to do, then he would give all of the king's subjects leave to disobey him. It's pretty interesting. So, King of France, I want you to do X, Y, Z. The King of France says, are you out of your ever-loving mind? No way. And so then the Pope would say, okay, all Roman Catholics in France, you don't have to obey the king anymore. You can do whatever you want. And you have free absolution from me. So live like you please. Well, of course, by such means, the Roman pontiff was able to bring many kings to his feet. Our reformers saw the wickedness in such a system, and said, and it is indeed codified in our confession that we owe obedience to magistrates whether they are Christian or not. And the Apostle Paul makes that very plain because he's talking about the powers that God has put in place even in heathen nations. And let us make this point clear, that God has not lost control of the world when someone like an Adolf Hitler rises to power. When Benito Mussolini rules over Italy, when Joseph Stalin rules over the old Soviet Union, it is not because God has somehow lost command of the world. These things happen because God raises up kings and sets them down at His pleasure. He takes them out of office and puts them in office at His pleasure. There is no power, the Apostle Paul says here very clearly and very distinctly, there is no power but from God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The civil magistrate is an office authorized by Christ, who is the King of Kings, and all civil magistrates must answer to Him in their government. Psalm 2 requires them to kiss the Son. That is, do obeisance to Him. Obey Him. He is their judge. So for us, we are required to obey all lawful commands of our civil magistrates. All lawful commands. Even indifferent ones? Yes, even indifferent ones, for conscience sake. This is what the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 or 3. Can't remember off the top of my head. But anyway, what the Apostle Paul tells us here is that if you would not be afraid of authority, that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? So when you see a police officer driving down the street, what is your immediate reaction if you're driving? Check the speedometer. Right? Lower the seat. Drive when you're small. You know? Would you not be afraid of the power, Paul says? Then do what is good. And you'll have praise of the same. Now, I know, maybe Officer Alley can back me up on this, policemen don't often pull people over and say, man, you're doing a great job, keep it up. Not often. I have heard of it happening. But to have praise of our civil magistrates is what we ought to strive for all of His lawful commands. He's not our enemy. He ought to be our friend. He ought to be someone that we look to and respect because of that office, to keep the peace, to protect the less strong among us from those who would oppress. Is our system a perfect one? You know the answer to that question. But because it's not perfect, listen, if you're thinking that the system is not perfect, so I don't have to follow it, your argument is not with me and it's not with the Apostle Paul, it's with the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And so, rulers ought to be a terror, not to good works, but to evil. And so this sword that the magistrate bears, it cuts both ways. It cuts away from him and toward him, right? Because he is God's minister, he ought to rule as one who is ruled and judged by the Lord Jesus Christ, to call evil evil and good good, and not to mix the two up. And when they do, they will be called to account. And remember that while we have some lawful means of redress in our society, that not all societies have enjoyed that kind of redress, but that the formal bar is in the higher courts of our nation, and then finally against the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot expect that there would be complete and perfect administration of justice in this life, for it is administered by fallible folk. But whatever is administered is indeed in the providence and purview of God. And for that we can be thankful. So, far from it, as far as Reformed theology is concerned, that we have disrespect for civil magistracy. Rather, we have great respect for it. It is an ordinance of God. It is something that God has established for the maintaining of the good and for the putting down, suppressing of evil. And make no mistake, every point of legislation is a legislation of morality. Yes, you can legislate morality. You may not be able to legislate what people think, but you can certainly provide consequences for particular actions that may dissuade people from partaking in them. And that is a good thing because, as the apostle tells us here, he beareth not the sword in vain. It's not an empty sword. The punishments that the civil magistrate brings are indeed punishments ordained of God. Yes, they can be misused. But because they're misused. I mean, if everything in this world, because it's misused, we said, oh no, we can't participate anymore. Let's just be honest with one another. Normally what we hear from rebels when they say, oh, authority's being misused, is, yeah, it's being misused, but really what they're doing is they're using that as an excuse to manifest their desires, to throw off every yoke. Right? What is the desire of the wicked rulers that are described in Psalm 2? Well, they speak against the Lord and against His Christ. And what do they say? They say, let us break their bands asunder. Cast their cords from us. Who's Lord over us? He is. But the same is true with us, isn't it? If we would throw off all restraint in our day, if we would throw off the civil magistracy in our day because it's not administered perfectly, we would throw off God's ordinance at that point. So let us be very careful how we prosecute such speaking. All right, so then not only, you want to add insult to injury, here we go. Not only is it that we are to obey them, we are to support them. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Honor to whom honor. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. All of it is true. That we pay taxes for the support of our civil magistracy, and that also, dear brothers and sisters, is an ordinance of God. The people that maintain the peace, the people that keep the peace over us. You know, if I could take all of the taxes that I pay and put it all under, you know, one little pie chart and divide it all out and show all of those taxes, you know, that would be the one that I would certainly want to get out and say, please take that. I would want it to be bigger than it is. Because, frankly, in our day and age, that is a very difficult job. And I want to make sure those guys are well compensated for their labors. They do God's work. So, yeah, tribute to whom tribute is due. We pay taxes that they may attend upon this very ordinance. And that's a good thing. That's a good reason to pay taxes. We'd have more to do good things like that if we stopped wasting the rest of it on frivolous and silly things and on patting people's kitty. But here I go again, getting political. Can you do that in the church? Yeah, you can. Yep, you can. All right, so we have a duty that is enjoined upon us here, and also with every duty in Scripture. We are enjoined to take that duty up with cheerfulness. Right? We are enjoined to take that duty up with cheerfulness. So, when we have gotten to the point in our driving skills or in our driving behavior that we have moved an officer of the civil magistrate to pull us over, when he comes to the window, don't be irritated. If you were driving within the speed limit, if you were doing your duty, he wouldn't be pulling you over, generally. Normally, why do we get angry when the police officer pulls us over? Well, because all the time through our lives, the speed limit said 45, we drove 55 through there and never got pulled over. And the one time we drove 54, we got pulled over. just to articulate it is to show the folly of it. Right? Okay. All right, so then the passage goes on to talk about the duty that we owe to one another. Not only do we owe that duty to the civil magistrate, but we also owe duties to the rest of our society. And then the apostle tempers or governs all of that duty with the truest duty of all, which is love. That love to one another means that we will be keeping the law of God. If we love one another, we will indeed be keeping the law of God. And of course, the converse of that is true. That we offend one another, we refuse our duty to one another, we draw back from our duty to one another, we don't provide for one another, we don't give respect to one another, we give each other the short shrift because we don't love each other as we ought. Those are hard words. But if you will think about them, you'll realize that when the apostle says that love worketh no ill to his neighbor, but that love is the fulfillment of the law, that every time we sin, and that sin is against our neighbor, it is because we do not love him enough. We have failed in our duty of love. And the same is true with regard to God. We fail in our duty toward God to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yet he continues in Christ to love us. All right, thus ends the reading. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.